Appreciate everyone here this morning. It's been a while since I've been in this position, so hopefully we'll have a lesson that we can understand and be beneficial to each and every one of us. The Bind, the 337 song, really will hit this. So as we go through this lesson, think of the songs because they were good to bring us along. In the passage that was read, we need to understand that we are strangers. We are pilgrims. We're sojourners in this life that we're living right now. This world is not our home. It's only a staying place so that we can prepare to meet our God and to have our lives in such a manner that we can, in fact, hear the sweet invitation. So what should we do with our time while we're on this earth? We want to look at a few of those things. We need to understand that we need to be good to all mankind. Doesn't matter who they are. Not just to one another as Christians, but we're commanded that we are to do good. We are to be one with all people. And the word love has to come out in everything that goes on here this morning. Jesus even tells the Jews that they have to be honest toward the Gentiles. And if that isn't a better lesson for us to understand, therefore, it's not just Christians that we are to be one with. We are to be one with the world to show them the error of their way. So when they try to bring accusations against us, they will then start realizing the error of their way because it's not us that's wrong. But why should we do good? We want to do good so those that are in darkness, those that are in sin, can see the goodness, see the life in us, so that they can start seeing the error in the things that they're doing, and hopefully they will come to the realization of where they need to be, that they may have the hope or the opportunity to repent of their sins and to declare Christ. We must honor all people. We must love the brotherhood. We must fear God. And Ecclesiastes says, and keep his commandments. We need to honor those who rule over us. God sent those people here for a reason. If you ever had a time when you were low, you were down, your spirit was low and you needed something, whether it be an illness or someone in the family that's ill, a crisis in your life that it would have been nice just to have someone come by and give you a shoulder to lean on. How do you get through times like that if nobody cared and nobody came to give you assistance? But alas, you didn't get anyone to come by. You didn't get any visitations, any phone calls. But why is that possible? Well, maybe nobody in your own family recognized that you're having a problem. Maybe you concealed it. No one in you worship with was able to see a change in you to the perspective that they understood there was something wrong. And maybe those that you call friends weren't really your friends. That when times got troublesome, they went a different way. But then there's also those times when that encouragement comes, but it comes from someone not likely, someone that may be a stranger to you, someone that maybe you know a little bit but not a lot. But maybe they were able to see in you things that those that were really close to you didn't see. This would not have been a fellow Christian, not a family member, and not your close friend. And as I said, this may have been a stranger. And isn't it remarkable that the New Testament talks about many of those occasions where Christ had to give credit to those not of the faith because they showed more faith than those who were supposed to be God's chosen. Have you ever had a breakdown on the highway? December 23rd, 1972, driving from Lompoc, California to Grand Forks, North Dakota. It's wintertime. I'm on Interstate Highway 20 miles from Fargo, west of Fargo. 4 below zero. The tip of my points, some of you may not know what that is, broke off of the distributor. I'm not going anywhere. Car after car passes me. Finally, I look in the mirror. Here's a semi coming up on the berm of the road behind my little Opel. Yes. Scared me to death. I yelled at the guy who was with me. I said, bail. I was going to jump out of the car and run. But he stopped. That man drove me into Fargo, drove me around to 5 parts stores till we could find parts for an Opel. The dealer didn't have any. Drove me back out, stayed with us till we got the car running. We had to wait for the 1/2 inch of ice to melt off the inside of the windows. And then he went on his way to Minneapolis, but he was going to miss what he was hoping to get home for. I laid a $20 bill on the seat of his truck semi as I got out when we got back. We're sitting there waiting for it. Next thing I know, my door opens. He grabs my arm, yanked me out of there. He was not too polite about the fact that I wanted to repay him. Interesting how these things play out. Well, that said, bear with me. I have some lyrics. I was going to paraphrase this, but I figured, no, I can't. You have to hear this for the whole purpose. This is a song called Chain of Love. He was driving home one evening in his beat-up Pontiac when an old lady flagged him down. Her Mercedes had a flat. He could see that she was frightened standing out there in the snow till he said, I'm here to help you, ma'am. By the way, my name's Joe. She said, I'm from St. Louis and I'm only passing through. I must have seen 100 cars go by. This is awful nice of you. And when he changed her tire and closed her trunk and was about to drive away, she said, how much do I owe you? Here's what he said to her. You don't owe me a thing. I've been there too. Someone once helped me out. Just the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you. Well, a few miles down the road, the lady saw a small cafe and she went in, grabbed a bite to eat, and then be on her way. But she couldn't help but notice how the waitress smiled so sweet, and how she must have been 8 months along and dead on her feet. No, she didn't know her story, and she probably never will. When the waitress went to get her change from a $100 bill, the lady slipped right out the door and on a napkin left a note. There were tears in the waitress' eyes when she read what she wrote. You don't owe me a thing. I've been there too. Someone once helped me out just the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here's what you do. Don't let the chain of love end with you. That night when she got home from work, the waitress climbed into bed. She was thinking about the money and what the lady's note had said. As her husband lay there sleeping, she whispered soft and low, everything's going to be all right. I love you, Joe. All right, you caught that. It's a touching scenario that many of us can probably relate to. There's a lot of things in that story. Was there a victim to the story? The ladies in the Mercedes had a flat. Was she a victim? She has the opportunity now to remember the one that stopped and gave her help. And the fact that he said he didn't want anything from her except that she not break the chain of love. What about Joe and his old beat-up Pontiac, struggling to his wife and the unborn child to make a living? What about the waitress herself? She was dead on her feet, but yet she smiled in her work. But then there's the other idea, the unborn child. Is there anything that might be to that? But on the other hand, who's the most fortunate? The lady with the Mercedes, she got her tire fixed and she went on her way. Joe had the opportunity to stop and render help, assistance to somebody that needed it. He has a kind heart for doing good, and he'll continue to do good. His life will continue. The waitress, she's full of love and compassion. She works hard, but she doesn't spend her time blaming others or blaming society, blaming her husband, or blaming herself. She does what she does because her heart is full of love, compassion, and devotion to others. Her life will continue. But then there's the unborn child. I'd like to think that the child was probably the most fortunate of all, because this child is going to be born to what? A mother and a father that have love, compassion, caring for others. That child's going to have an opportunity to grow up in such an environment of love, kindness, and peace. And let's remember God in all of this. There's nothing religious in this song lyric, but yet we can put Christian values to the many things that we have here. So now this morning I want to go into the parable of the Good Samaritan and talk a little bit about those characters. Read with me, start in Luke 10, verse 25. "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' He said to him, 'What is written in the law? What is your reading of it?' So he answered and said, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.' And he said to him, 'You have answered rightly. Do this, and you will live.' But he, the lawyer, wanting to justify himself, said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' Then Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him now half dead. Now by chance a certain priest came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he sent him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper and said, 'Take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you.' So which of these 3 do you think was the neighbor to him who fell among the thieves?" The lawyer said, "He who showed mercy on him." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." We spend a lot of time trying to justify ourselves. Who is Jesus talking to here? We need to understand the multitudes around him. He's going to have Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, priests, Jewish leaders. But he's also going to have those from other parts of the world, other nations that have gathered and have been following him. So he's got a great multitude that is with him. Now, can they hear everything that's being said? We're not sure. But one of these people stood up and happened to be a lawyer. This is a lawyer that's skilled in the law of Moses, and it was his business to explain these laws. So it's not that he wasn't knowledgeable of God's word. He was. But he feigned the idea that he wanted to be taught. He asked Jesus a question. Now, the idea of salvation was common among all the Jews, so that's nothing new. But what this lawyer was doing was attempting to justify himself. Perhaps he wanted to stand tall and see how much he could let Jesus know how much he knew. But is that really what happened? He asked Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" It's a question we should all ask ourselves and keep in our thoughts. He wants to show himself blameless. He wants to show that he has done the things that the law has told him to do, that he has kept the law. But Jesus, knowing all, answers this lawyer in such a way that the lawyer has to think quickly on his feet. We need to also understand that the Pharisees thought the Jews were the only ones regarded as neighbors, not the Gentiles, which was already an error in their thinking. And the lawyer, was probably wanting to stand tall, as I said, and to justify himself that he was doing good. Every sinner is desirous of the exact same thing, but sinners do not do it according to God's law. We pervert the meaning, and this goes along with our lesson this morning in Bible study. We as human beings pervert the meaning of the law, destroy the spirituality of it, and bring the law down to our standards, and someone brought that up this morning in class. We try to get the law to fit how we want to live. Jesus answered beyond what was expected. Jesus made the lawyer become his own judge in this case and constrained him to admit what at first he probably would have denied. This lawyer has it put back on him. The lawyer was ultimately compelled to acknowledge that a Samaritan in this story, a race most hated by the Jews, had shown kindness to a neighbor, while a priest and a Levite had denied it, not only to this man, but to a man of their own country, in a hope that none of them kept, or not hope, but that none of them kept the law. We can also see these same attributes in the priest and the Levite, but we see these same attributes in our lives daily. So I want to look at each of these, and I'm going to expand it, not just with the three, so bear with me. I'm going to expand it to a couple extras here. Which of these characters was full of good deeds? And which of these characters would be the most fortunate? We have the priest. He's traveling from one city to another. Obviously, his duties, he travels back and forth. Same is probably true of the Levite. We need to understand that both he and the Levite are about God's work in the services and conducting those things that need to be done within the worship services. But this priest, he sees the man, but he stays on the other side and passes right on by. That's the priest you want on your side. The Levite gets even better. He sees the man, and the scripture says he came up and gazed upon him, looked upon him. So the Levite definitely knows how bad this man is, but then turned and go to the other side and passed on by. That's a friend indeed. But then we need to understand the Samaritan came along. Samaritan saw this man in the ditch, bloodied, in serious need of help. And what did this Samaritan do? Regardless of who the man was in the ditch, whether it was a Jew or a Gentile, this Samaritan went to the man, did what he could, bandaging him there, then put the man on his own donkey to take him into town, took him into the inn, talked to the innkeeper, was able to tender to him over the night, and then when he left in the morning, he made a deal with the innkeeper. Keep this man, make sure that he's taken care of, and any more that I owe you, I will pay you when I return. So he's not trying to dump this on anyone. He is trying to follow through with the mercy that he has started to show. Should a Samaritan be expected to show this kindness to a Jew? So think about the worst enemy you have and you see them in need. Do you have a right, just because you don't like them, to turn away? This man, the Samaritan, denied himself to show kindness to a stranger. If the assistant had been rendered by a Jew, everybody would call it a good deed. If a Gentile had come up to a Jew and rendered assistance, they would consider it an act of kindness. But here, it was a Samaritan to a Jew, a man of a nation most hated by the Jews. So we need to understand the difference. And this isn't the only time a Samaritan has been seen kindly, because we have Jesus and the lady at the well. So we need to understand, we have good examples in the Scripture of how we should conduct ourselves to all people. Now we have the innkeeper. Nobody talks about the innkeeper. He's really not part of the parable that Jesus is saying, but I'm going to suggest there has to be something good there as well. What qualities does this man have? Now, we understand he's a businessman. He's an innkeeper. So Samaritan brings a fellow in. He's in need of a place to shelter. He needs some more work. The innkeeper lets him come in. He didn't look at who the people were and decide, well, I can't serve you. But did he have the right to do that? But he also has confidence. He may have known this Samaritan, but he had confidence that this Samaritan, for whatever reason, would return and compensate whatever was left, whatever the innkeeper had to spend. But then the wounded man himself, what do we know about him? We know he was traveling along the road, thieves, not the thieves just wanting to steal, but thieves that wanted to do bodily harm as they stole. And they left him on the side of the road. Through no part of his own, this befell him. He was persecuted at the hands of other men. Are Christians persecuted at the hands of men? These men had no scruples. They had no regard to God, to the law, or any of that. And obviously they had no compassion, not toward others. It was all towards themselves. I want to read 2 Timothy 3, starting verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. We are sojourners. We are pilgrims in this world. We identify with Christ. We become Christians. We need to understand, Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, you know everything I've been through. Timothy, you're going to experience these things. People, we're going to experience these things. But we still have to be able to do good to all men. When we look at the character of those that I've looked at today, in the parable of the sower, yes, the three main characters, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. But we need to understand each one of them have a character. And people in this world can relate to those characters. Are we doing the things? Are we the thieves, the ones that bring destruction? Are we the priests, the ones who pick and choose who we're going to work with, who we're going to serve? Are we the Levites who do basically the same thing? Oh, I'll look at what's wrong with you, but I don't have time right now to help you. Or are we the Samaritan? Are we the one with the character that can reach out? No prejudice, no ill design, but reach out to offer a helping hand to somebody in need. Needs are in all kinds of ideas, and we need to understand that as sojourners, Christians in this world, that these perils that are associated with, like the story I read, the lyrics of a song, and also looking at the parable of the Samaritan, these things happen to all. When the lawyer asked, so which of these three, or when Jesus asked, so which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? What did the lawyer have to say? He that showed mercy on him. Jesus put it to a point where that lawyer had to look at himself, look at his life, look at his character. And no matter what he really wanted to say, he had to answer Jesus truthfully. He that showed mercy on him. Jesus then said to what? Go and do likewise. Are we ready to do that? Are we prepared to do that? Do we do that? Those are the questions that we need to be thinking about. Went the wrong way. Christians are going to endure persecutions, trials, afflictions. We're going to suffer for Christ's sake. If we do as the Scripture says, we will suffer as he suffered. But it doesn't negate how we treat other people. Did it ever stop Jesus from stopping and helping? Did Jesus ever turn from anyone? Did Paul turn? Did Paul try to weasel out of all the things that he went through? We need to understand, we need to love God, and we shall love our neighbor as ourselves. So I'm hoping that the lesson we can take away from this is that we need to bring ourselves to understand Christian duty. It all comes down to love. That's why Steve may have been taking a generic road, but he hit some songs that I think we can understand fit this lesson beautifully. We need to be the people God wants us to be, following Christ in all that he was, all that he meant, and being obedient servants day in and day out. Thank you for your time. If there's any that have a need to come forward for accepting Christ for the first time, or anyone that has a need to ask for forgiveness of something that's been erring in their lives, if there's anything we can do to help or render assistance, we offer at this time as we stand and sing.